As we've quoted in the past, the Mishnayos in the beginning of Parakat and Mikvos have certain things that are Kotzis and certain things that are not Kotzis. So you have Mishnah Beis and Mishnah Tes, that each have a list of Dvarim HaKotzisim and Dvarim She'enam Kotzisim. So in that list, in those two Mishnayos, the Mishnah has that Basik, if you have dough, Hafatipporen, if you have dough under the fingernail, that constitutes a Chatzitza. But if you have Tsoa under the fingernail, that does not constitute a Chatzitza. According to Pashup Shad, and we'll see most Yishonim, Tsoa means dirt. Doesn't mean Tsoa literally, it means dirt under the fingernail. So according to the Mishnah there, if you have dough under the fingernail, that is Kotzeitz. If you have dirt under the fingernail, it is not Kotzeitz, without any qualification. However, the Rush in Simen Kavav, the Rush here in the Tamperik, and the Rush there in the Mishnayos, they quote a Tosefta, that does have a qualification. But the Tosefta there, that's parallel to the Mishnah, distinguishes between Tsoa, which is Keneged HaBasar, and Tsoa, which is not Keneged HaBasar. So if you have Tsoa, that is Keneged HaBasar, meaning it's under the... between the nail and the skin, not the white part, so then that would not be a chatzitza. But if it's under the white part, not Keneged HaBasar, that would be a chatzitza. So the Beis Yosef here already points out that could be a machlokes rishonim, how do you resolve what seems to be a sneer between the Mishnah and the Tosefta? Again, the Mishnah says that dirt under a fingernail is not kotzeitz without qualification, and the Tosefta distinguishes between dirt that is Keneged HaBasar and dirt that is shalom Keneged HaBasar. So Beis Yosef presents that the Rambam sounds like he understood it's machlokes, because the Rambam in Perek Beis of Mikvos, Perek Beis Halacha Aleph and Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid, just quotes, as the Mishnah does, that Batek is Chotzeit, so it's not Chotzeit, without any qualification. So the Beis Yosef thinks that the Rambam understood Basi Machlokes between the Mishnah and the Tosefta, and that's why the Rambam paskins like the Mishnah over the Tosefta, and you don't have any distinction between Keneged HaBasar and Shelo Keneged HaBasar. And the Beis Yosef himself is more inclined, or at least points out, that those who do quote the distinction Halakha, like the Torah, may assume that there's no machlokes, and the Tosefta simply mefarish the Mishnah. The Mishnah is so same, and the Tosefta gives more detail as to the din of the Mishnah. So that's what we pass in Shulchan Aruch in Seif Yuches. Sova shetacha patiporen, shelo keneged HaBasar is chotzeitz, keneged HaBasar is eino chotzeitz. Veiz shelo keneged HaBasar, zeshe tiporen odef ala basar. So whatever is, we would say the white area, or the area that goes above where it meets the flesh, is considered shelo keneged HaBasar. Okay, so as we pointed out, Pashup Shat Tsoa just means any kind of dirt. The Badi Shulchan here on page Lamed Hay in the Beyurim points out that there's a Rashba in Chulin that sounds otherwise. The Rashba, the Beis Yosef quotes here, the Rashba in the Netilas Yudayim there, Sugya there in Perek HaBasar, and Daf Kavzayim. The Rashba in Chulin Kavzayim and Aleph Dibur Maskel Had Arminan. So he writes that the Tsoa everyone removes because it's Masracha. So he presumably understood Tsoa is literally Tsoa, not just any dirt. The only real Nafkamina would be that if Tsoa means dirt, so then it could be the literal Tsoa is more chamor than dirt. And maybe that would be Chotzeis Bein Keneged HaBasar and Bein Shelo Keneged HaBasar. All of that is relatively theoretical, because as a practical matter, the Makabari already writes here, based on the Rush and the Rashba, earlier sources of Bein Yeruchim, Lefi She'einan Yecholos L'chavei Ma Nikra Keneged HaBasar O Shelo Keneged HaBasar, since it's a little bit difficult to precisely draw the line between Keneged HaBasar and Shelo Keneged HaBasar, so we want to be sure that we don't run into any potential chatzitza problem. Nagu hanoshim lito tiperneim b'shas tevila. So the practice of women was to cut their nails. Shas tevila means prior to tevila. So the practice developed, already recorded in the Rishonim, that the presentation of the Torah, based on the Rashi, is that this is to avoid any question as to what is considered keneged basar and shelo keneged basar, to avoid any potential chatitza problem. So the minhag developed that women cut their nails prior to tevila. Now the Ramah is beyond that. The Ramah on Sif Gimel, Sif Kaf, sorry. The Akher the Kvar Nagu Lito Hatsi Pernayim, since the minhag already developed and our practice is to cut nails. Afilu im siparin achas nishar biyada v'tabla. So even if you have one nail that was not cut, tzvicha tzvila acheres. So she has to go to the mikvah again. Meaning a woman neglected to cut one of her nails, she went into the mikvah, we require another tzvila, v'chein ogen. So the Ramah records a minag al gabi minag. The initial minag is to be machmir to cut nails before going into the mikvah. And then the Ramah says on top of that, the minhag is that if a woman neglected to cut a nail, and then she discovers it after tefila, she needs to go back into the mikvah. What is this based on? So there's a machlokas here, the Taz and the Shach. As far as the scope of this chumrah of the Ramah. So, strictly speaking, the Chumrah of the Ramah is based on a Hagos Shari Dura, quoted here in the Taz, Sif Katan Kaf Aleph. So the Hagos Shari Dura writes that the Chashash is maybe there is a tit under the fingernail. The Efshar Shalo Yehe B'Sof HaTit. So the reason the Ramah says, based on the Hagos Shari Dura, that if a woman neglected to cut a nail, she needs to go to the mikvah again, be tovel again, is because we're concerned that maybe under that nail that wasn't cut, there is some tit, some davar hakotes.
So there isn't even actually something there.
The concern is maybe there is a davar hakotes there.
That's like, isn't that like an extra level of like this?
Yes.
If you cleaned it out fully, and you know that there's nothing there.
So this, if you clean it out fully and you know that there's nothing there, that already may relate to the topic in the Kavdah Elisil Kavav. But strictly speaking, that's the reason for the Skomra, but the Skomra may apply regardless. But we'll get to that in a moment. So the Taz quotes the Goshari Du, which is the source of the Ramah, that the concern is that maybe there is some tit under that Tziporen that was not cut. So the Shach here in Sif Katan Kafe initially quotes from a Tshuvas Maharam Lublin, Tshuvas Maharam Lublin Simon Ayin Aleph, which expands on this presentation of the Agos Shari Dura, and writes that the Ramah quotes here that this Kumra Lomat Nimseis Meshum Posek, that we don't really find any earlier source for this Kumra requiring an extra tevila if a woman discovered afterwards that she neglected to cut a nail. And the Maharam Lublin writes, Kevin She'ein Zem Midina El Kumra, since anyway this is only a Kumra the Alma, Nirali Shalavach Miru Ella the Kishemasa Shishakha Tziparin Akas Miyad Achar Tvila. So the Chumra is only relevant, or only Machmir, where she discovers that she forgot to cut a nail. She discovers it right after the Tvila. Kodem Shalansa Im Vaila Aval. Elomasa Kiyam Alamachar. But if she only discovers this uncut fingernail the next morning, Ein Roi Lahachmir Shelo Totsi Laz Al Bilasa. So then that's inappropriate to be Machmir, because that would result in being Motsi Laz Al Bilasa. Then he writes, Afil Ilo Niska Kalabaila Bosa Laila. Even if she wasn't with her husband that night, still, a Dover Mechuar to require her to go back to the mikvah the next morning. Imlo Nimsa Shum Lechlo Tachta. So, provided that there is actually no dirt there. So if there is, according to Maram Lublin, if you find dirt there, so then that's mamish chashitza, so you definitely have to go back to the mikvah. this minhag is, even though the reason for the minhag is maybe there is some dirt there, but the minhag was established as such, and therefore, even if you don't have dirt there, the minhag is still to go back to the mikvah if you discover it that night, but not if you wait until the next morning. The Maran Lulin says, "Afil im lonis kikolabai." I think the Badei Shulchan points out that in the Shach citation, the Maran Lulin, it leaves out that line. But that is what it says in the original source. Once it's the next morning, afilu im lo lansa im vayla, there's no need to go back to the mikvah. So says the Yeshua's Maran Lulim, quoted in the Shach, which is consistent with the maskana of the Taz. Yeah.
Does that mean that according to the Maharam Lulim that she would be in Tavelis again because she noticed as soon as she came out of the mikvah?
Right.
Would she have to make a bracha?
Presumably not. So most poskim, the way they present it, say this is only chumra ba'alma, so you definitely don't have to say another bracha. If there was a davar chotze that you found before, so then maybe you would have to say another bracha. Depends on what the nature of that chatzitza was. Presumably, if it was potentially a bona fide chatzitza, then you would say another bracha. But these which are mishum chumra ba'alma, you would not say another bracha if you go back. Good. Okay, so again, The presentation of the Agav Sharidura, which is the source of the Ramah, is that the concern is that there is some tit, but even if you don't actually find tit, if there is a uncut fingernail because of this minhag, that night at least, you would go back and be tavelis again. However, then the Shach goes on. And after he quotes the Maran Lublin, he quotes a Ra'avan. In the old printings of the Shulchan Aruch, it says Raiva, that's a mistake. In the new printings, they fixed it. It's a Ravan. The Ravan in Simin Shin Kaf Vav. Rewrites. Tzricha lachto tziporne yadeha v'ragleha. You have to cut the fingernails and toenails. Pause for a second. So his lashon is tziporne yadeha v'ragleha. If you look at the Piskei Tshuva here, Sivkat and Yud, he quotes in the Chamudi Daniel that there are more grounds to be makel about toenails than fingernails. That at least if lichachila, you should cut the toenails as well, because we're concerned about a chatzitza there as well. But if you went to the mikvah and discovered after the fact that you didn't cut a toenail, so then the Chamudi Daniel says there are more grounds to be makel, because we're less concerned about chatzitzas, they're less of a kapeda on a toenail. That's the Piskei Tshuva quote from the Chamude Daniel. So parenthetically, the Ravan, this isn't the reason that Shach quotes the Ravan, but just to note parenthetically that in the Ravan presentation of this Chumrah, the Ravan equates fingernails and toenails. So, lichachila, they're all the same. On a b'di'evan matter, there is what to be more makel about concerning toenails and fingernails in theory. Fine. So what does Ravan say? Tzricha lachtoch tziporne yadeha v'ragleha dekevan da'asida litlan chaytzi hashta. Since you are going to cut them off, they are chotzeis now. That sounds like kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dami. That which is going to be cut off is already viewed halakhically as having been cut off. So that's saying this is not just a chumra ba'alma, but we actually view a fingernail as a davar hachotek batem. It's not just that we're concerned that if you didn't cut your fingernail off, maybe there's a chashash, that there may be some dirt under the fingernail, but the Ravan is saying that no, the fingernail itself is chotek. Right, as opposed to Mechaber, who's explicit here in Sivkav, had Tziporin Asma Enochot Tzetzes. But what the Shach is quoting for the Ravan is that no, the fingernail itself, and toenail, he says, the nail itself is Chotzeis because you are going to cut it, and Kola Omili Gazes, Kigazes Dami. And for that reason, the Shach concludes Lahalacha, that Hecha the Efshir Lalachar Belipo, Afila lamasa adamachar yesh lalachar v'lipo, that because of this Ravan, even the next morning, if it is feasible to go back to the mikvah, it would be appropriate to go back to the mikvah if you discover an uncut nail. The Kamadumali says the Shah Shekay Noagim Laharos. Alayhe the low Efshar, Eila Hafmir, Kevan Sha'avar Halayla. So, out of deference to the position of the Rabbah, the Shach would say, according to everyone else, according to the Goshari Dewar, according to the Maran Lublin's presentation, it's a Chumr Ba'alma because of the Chashash of Tit. So then, Kfar Lansam Baila, you don't have to go back. But out of deference or to be koshish for the position of the Ravan, that sounds like it's a me'ikar in consideration that the fingernail is itself chotzeitz, then it would be appropriate to go back to the mikvah even the next morning. So says the Shach. Gabi.
But even if deodorant?
Yep. Yeah.
Why in the palate is there no mikvah available versus tiger?
Bottom line, it's choshish, you're choshish for a minority position of Rishonim. So how far do you have to go to be choshish for a minority position of Rishonim?
I mean, are there other areas that are just hashashos or chumros that we would say even after one is a vayla? I mean, why specifically here do we say even after one is a vayla, if there's a mikvah available?
Because here there's a position according to which it's a me'ikar adin chatzitza, potentially. Yeah.
What about the issue of
so it's a cost-benefit analysis. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, you're choshesh, if you're concerned about a shita, that maybe it's a bona fide chazitza, so that's going to trump the concern of chashash lav. So. Good question. You're saying who needs to know, who's going to know? It's all a private matter anyway. Yep.
Doesn't
the
because
if
the woman gets pregnant, then it's
going to
be
the
most
alive on that kid. But who's going to know? That's what you're saying. I don't know. I hadn't thought about it. Okay. Now, so this suggestion of kol omi the gazis kagazus dami as being relevant in the context of fingernails that you're going to cut, so you should note in that context what we discussed previously, which is the Chassam Sofer quoted here in Piskei Shuvah Sifkat in Yudbeis. Chassam Sofer Yoredeya Sivin Kuf Sarihei quoted in Piskei Shuvah Sifkat in Yudbeis, take a look, that Kalos, Shetolos, Visarasei, and Arukos. So, neither wedding, she has long hair. Vasid and Lakos, Akabilos Mitzvah. The next morning, she's going to shave the hair off. So, someone wanted to say that maybe that's a problem of Kola Omi Ligaze, Kagaze Zami, and it should constitute a Chatzitza. So, the Chazon Sofer wasn't bothered by that. The Chazon Sofer says that no. Kola Omeid is only relevant if it's mamish going to be cut off right away. But here, there's a strong break, or a significant break in time between the tefillah and when you've got to cut off the hair, so therefore we're not concerned about Kola Omeid Ligazeh's Kigazeh's Dami. That's the Chasam Sofer's explanation for why we're not mafkid in Hungary, that a woman should shave her hair before she gets married.
In the regular case of Kol Omeid is when she's gonna think she it would be like the next hour, she went to the mikvah, she didn't do it because she was planning on doing it the next day, or I mean
where the Chazon Sofer presents it is that the fact that there's a bialos mitzvah, that's a strong stop that indicates that something needs to happen before you're going to be in a position to be go face. Gary.
I mean, you always have a chatzitza for anybody. Everybody always gets a haircut. Like, if you don't assume like that, sounds over. Like,
right.
Completely shaves off their when they have no hair.
Mm-hmm.
So even when she gets a haircut,
right,
shaves her head, it
right,
should still be a chatzitza the next time she goes because she still has hair.
Right. So I think the presumption of the show was it's something that is about to, like tomorrow, be cut off. So maybe a certain proximity of time. But
right, but that's
right. So, but that precise nekuda is why the Sefer Truma says not like the Rabban. Sefer Truma in Simen Kuf Dalet. Sefer Truma Simen Kuf Dalet writes as follows: V'tzricha lachtov tzipor neha. So a woman needs to cut off her nails. Zecheinu minog, and so is the common practice. Venera. The hainu time mishumatid shetachata tzipornaya. The reason that a woman needs to cut off her nails is because of the tit, as we saw in the Agos Shari Dura. Aval mishumatiporen shu gadol yofim idai kutzavasar. But don't tell me that the reason you have to cut the fingernail or the nail is because it's too long and you're going to cut it off. The lap off you're going to cut off anyway. The kotzeitz a nira times that. That doesn't make sense, says the Sefer Truma. Don't tell me that the concern is kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dani. Sharei saros rosho shegidolin yosem idai. The odin likazeis, what about someone's hair? So a woman also has long hair, and she's going to get a haircut. No one says that a woman has to cut off all her hair before she goes to the mikvah. So if you're not going to be concerned about this by hair, then you can't be concerned about this by nails, and it must be the only kashash is of tit tachas hatziporen, and not of kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dami. So says the Sefer Truma in Simen Kuf Dalet. Right, so that's precisely his rejection of the Ravan. It can't be that we're concerned about kol omid ligazeis, because then what are you going to tell me about hair? So what would the Ravan Taka say about hair?
Just cut less frequently.
Yes, cut less frequently? That's a tough line to draw.
Very good stuff.
I'm sorry?
Well, that's tough.
Yeah, that what? Yes, but I'm sorry?
I mean, either you say yeah it is, or
right.
You would just say like that.
Right, so the Cosmic Zohar doesn't present that as being the distinction between nails and hair, although presumably he would have to say that if he, if we are indeed concerned about the Shas Ravan. Okay.
About the fact that to go in and say that the hair and the roof are treated once, the hair would be bundled to the roof. In the sense of long hair, it's just like, okay, you have one hand that's longer than the other, it's not a chafitza.
No, but that doesn't solve the color of the guts of the dummy problem. If something can be cut off, that would be any different than fingernails. So the Shari Tvila makes the following suggestion. Simon Kaf Aleph Ospeis, Simon Kaf Aleph Ospeis from the Shari Tvila. He thinks that the Ravan isn't saying that a fingernail be'etem is chotzeitz. What the Ravan is saying, he's not saying that be'etem is chotzeitz because of the kol omid ligazeis. He's saying that since the minhag developed to cut fingernails, and it is well the case that the reason the minhag developed is because of the tit tachas hatziporen. The Ravan doesn't have to dispute that. So, but once there is a minhag to cut fingernails, so then you say, because of that minhag, kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dami. It's not that you're going to cut the nails for some extraneous reason. The minhag says you must cut your nails before you go to the mikvah. So once you have a minhag Yisrael to cut your nails before you go to the mikvah, so by the time you go to the mikvah, that gives it the status of kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dami, and that is why we're concerned about the tziporen being chotzeitz be'etzem. So it could be the minhag developed because of tit, but once the minhag developed, so now we're concerned of kol omid ligazeis kegazeis dami, but no such minhag ever developed when it came to hair, and that's why there's no parallel consideration by hair.
I think it can only be like a hair, male who didn't shave.
So there is a minority opinion shown him that a ger has to cut all body hair before going to the mikvah. So we don't assume the way the lacha.
They mean like facial hair. It hasn't shaved today. You will shave later, but
right.
If you're saying the only way the whole class is just because it's developed by nails, that means you have to shave. So according to like
the Chazovers kind of feel like it's going to go with that answer to the Rabban, you would have to say it.
Well, no. Well, whatever you say, I don't know, because once you're ready to make for hair, would you ever distinguish between if hair is not a chatzitza, would you say that hair that you're going to shave is a chatzitza? I mean, they're talking the same thing. Let's say a woman shaves part of her body regularly, so if she happened to not before the mikveh, we generally assume it may not be a chatzitza b'di'evet. So I don't know if that's a perfect analogy. Yosef.
This can work with the Rama's lashon of like the minhag. Before we were saying this, so I guess the pasuk chat in the Rama.
Yeah.
So could we have the shabbat thing that chat in the Rama, meaning even though it's like a din, you still put a 20 to minhag?
The shabbat is saying, I don't know if the shabbat saying that chat in the Rama. The shabbat is saying that lemaisu we should be koshish for it. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I mean the shabbat was saying that.
And the shabbat's not denying that the source of the Rama is clearly a hagodah sharidur. The shabbat's not denying that. The Shach saying that there's this other consideration that you have in the Ravan, and therefore you have to be choshish for that lemaisa.
The Rama wasn't choshish for that, or
the Rama is awesome. The Rama doesn't explicitly address. It's not against the Rama. You know, this reading is not inconsistent with the Rama. But I don't know if the Shach needs to be saying that was the intention of the Rama. He's saying that's a minig in his time. He's not necessarily saying that was a minig in the Ramah's time. Okay. So there's a Shuvah B'chai Moser, Achiezer Chelek Gimel Simen Lama Gimel Os Aleph. Achiezer Chelek Gimel Simen Lama Gimel Os Aleph, who addresses the existence of some women who were otherwise committed to Taharat HaMishpacha but were unwilling to cut their long nails that they had for fashion purposes in order to go to the mikvah. The Rav Avadya, when he talks about this, both in Yadiya Omer, Chelek Beis, Yerodeya Simen Yud Gimel, and in Taharat HaBayis, it talks about the notion of modernim, the modern woman. But then he points out that it's not a modern phenomenon, because if you look at the Ramban in the Parsha of Yitzhak Tohar, the Ramban there refers to the fashion of women growing their nails long for style and coloring them. So he points out that it's not really a modern phenomenon. It existed in biblical times as well. But be that as it may, so Chaim Moser is addressing a resurfacing phenomenon of women who were committed to Taharat HaMishpacha, chutz mi, davar echad, that they weren't willing to cut their long fingernails.
So annoying.
Sorry?
Annoying
to who?
No,
it's
like
it's beauty. Annoying. Oh, annoying. They
said it's annoying. Okay. I don't
be annoying. Right. So Lenoy was, that's one consideration, that's what we spoke about last time, but even if something is Lenoy, but if it's a violation of Minhag Yisrael, that doesn't, so Chaim Moser says, obviously, you should try to convince them that this is not a proper Hashkafa, and you should encourage them to keep Minhag Yisrael as well. But he says, if push comes to shove, if they're not willing to budge on that, so especially given that according to the Taz and the simpler understanding of the minhag of the Ramah here, that it's essentially a chashash but not an ikra din consideration, so then there's what to be makel about. And then he said, even according to the Ravan, you could argue that here you don't say Golomi the Gazas Kigazas Dami. They're not planning on cutting their nails. That's the whole conversation here. They don't want to cut their nails. They're going to tell me Golomi the Gazas Kigazas Dami because they have to cut their nails, but they're not planning on doing that. The way the Shari Tevila embellishes on this point is that the way he presented it, the kol om, the gazik, the gazik, the consideration is a function of the minhag. So So because of the minhag Yisrael, not the cutting nails, because of the minhag Yisrael, the cut nails, you say kol amid gazit. But they're telling you, they're not going to follow the minhag Yisrael. They're not going to cut their nails. They can't say kol amid gazit zami. They're not cutting them. But even according to the Ravan, it's arguable that the concern doesn't apply. So obviously, lechachila, it's appropriate to encourage them to cut. But if they insist on not cutting, you shouldn't prevent them from going to the mikvah just because of that. And then he says that you shouldn't publicize this, you shouldn't give them a heter, but you don't have to protest. So if they're going to use the mikvah, don't throw them out. But he says, since I haven't found this discussed explicitly in Poskim, you shouldn't give a formal endorsement of such a practice, but you can allow for it, and you don't have to be mocha. That is Rav Chaim Moser's conclusion. Okay. And you should have seen here as well, I'm not going to talk about it, but the machlokas, famous machlokas, the Taz and the Shach, about what happens if a woman neglected to cut her nails come Friday night, and she's holding by going to the mikvah. So the Taz paskins that since this is only a chumra ba'alma, presumably there is some correspondence between the machlokas we just quoted and this machlokas, that since it's only a chumra ba'alma, the Taz says it's not necessary, and you, dafka, shouldn't have a non-Jew cut the nails for you, alidei mil akum, because there isn't sufficient justification to allow for that shavuos. And the Shach argues and says, no, that you should not go to the mikvah unless you have enough we cut the nails for you. And this is a situation in which mil akum may be, or should be mutter. Okay. Let's move on to begin discussing Beis HaSdarim. You good? Okay. The Gemara says on Tam B'Kvav Amud Beis, the Amud Rava, Olam Yilamid Adam Asaf Beiso Shitei Isha Madicha Beis Kmateha B'Mayim, that a man should educate his household, that a woman should rinse out prior to going to the mikvah her Beis Kmateha. Rashi says Beis Hashafi Ubeis Hasdarim Shalat, the woman should wash out her Beis Hasdarim, the areas that are not exposed in the body. Beisi Bei So you don't need Beis Mayim, you don't need the water to go into the Beis HaSdarim. The water doesn't have to go into your mouth, into your nose, into your ears. And where I said, no. So it's true that you don't require the water to actually go into the Beis HaSdarim, but it needs to be roughly to go into the Beis HaSdarim. To the Rav Zeira, fine. Then the Gemara has a story. Amar Rabin Bar Rav Ada, Amar Rav Yitzchak, Ma'isa Mishnechasa Shal Rebbe, Shatavla V'Yalsa. She went to the mikvah, she got up, she got out. V'Nimsala Etzem Kosei Bein Shinah. And she found a bone that was between her teeth. V'Tzvicha Rebbe Tzvila Cheres. The Rebbe required her to go back to the mikvah. So Gemara establishes that there is a requirement of Ra'il Lubiyas Mayim, that even though the water doesn't actually have to get into the Beis HaSdarim, it has to be Ra'il to get into the Beis HaSdarim, and therefore a Chatzitza of the Beis HaSdarim would pose a problem. Is this a Din D'Oraisa or a Din D'Rabbanan? So that's a Machlokas Rishonim. If you take a look, there's a parallel sugya here to our sugya in Kedushin, Daf Kafei Amud Aleph onto Amud Beis. So Tosos there at the end of a lengthy Tosos on Kafei Amud Beis, the end of Dibur Maskil Kolaroi, so Tosos there assumes that this is a Din D'Oraisa based on Zirachas Es Kol Bisaro B'Mayim. And Kol Bisaro includes even Beis HaSdarim. So says Tosos. And the Chochmei Svar and the Gemara there, the Ramban, the Rashba, and the Ritva, they all assume that this is only a din de rabbanan. Either some call the tikkun rabbanan, either some. This is all a din de rabbanan. The pasuk is only talking about mashab agoli. The pasuk of Rakas is called the Sarabha Mayim. It means that which is exposed in the body. And it's only Midra Rabbanan that we're concerned even about Beis Hasdara. If you look at the Tosfos HaRash here on our page, as far as I can tell, the Tosfos HaRash here neither doesn't weigh in on the Deraisa of the Rabbanan Shaila, even though the Tosfos HaRash in Kiddushin, I think, assumes that it's a Din Deraisa. But here he has a line. What is the reason for being concerned about Beis Hasdarim? They write, "Right of the Asmayim Beinan, Kevin de Lufamim Nifnas Ba'amayim." That since sometimes the water goes into Beis Hasdarim, so then that already becomes a part of the body that needs to be submerged. Okay, as we noted earlier, Yosef.
So according to this rush, Beis Hasdarim is only up until that point?
No, it doesn't sound like it. But because...
So like someone is something in their stomach or...
No, so Beis Hasdarim is something that has a...
Like how far, like my mouth. So it's like just like, yeah, up until where, like in your mouth.
Oh, I agree with that. Right. I think there probably means an area where it is possible, under normal circumstances, the water could get into. So as we noted earlier, nafkamina between whether this din of chatzisa beis hasdarim is in the right of the rabbanon is a machlokes safek, which comes up in various contexts, whether we're more makel about a safek in a beis hasdarim chatzisa than in a regular makom shebagoli chatzisa, which we spoke about in the context of fillings and the like. There is an interesting Shita in the Meiri that Rav Avadya highlights. Paras Avayis Pesh Kuf Kav Aleph. The Meiri in our sugya here in Nida has the following line. V'chein ha-minog shakol adam makbid be'etzem shebein shinov. So we're makbid about the bone that you find between the teeth. V'mitoch kach ha-nimor u'ba Shebasar shebasocha shinayim ein derech lachbid alav kolkach vein ochotes. So the mice in the Gemara here was about the etzem vein ochotes. The Meiri says that's the afghan etzem, which is more of a chatzitza than a piece of meat. You have a piece of meat stuck between your teeth, so people aren't so lachbid about that. Even though the Meiri says most Rishonim, we said the Ravid argues, but the Meiri thinks that the whole chashash of a chatzitza in the teeth is only for an etzem, or something which is really stuck, and not for a piece of meat. So even though this is not reflected by the normative position in Rishonim or Lalacha, Rav Avadya does point out that there's a maram like this as well. The Tshuva and the maram distinguishes between etzem and basar vein hashinayim, and therefore Rav Avadya is inclined that there are more grounds to be mako about a suffix as to whether there was basar ben hashinayim than if you have a suffix, let's say, whether there was an etzem ben hashinayim. And he points out the Marsham quotes his Maram lahalacha as well. But we pass from the Shulchan Aruch here in Se'if Kav Dalid. Three chalapsos chineha shelo yehe behem davar chotetz. You have to clean out the teeth so there's no davar chotetz. If a woman did go to the mitzvah and found a chatzitza between the teeth, the tefillah doesn't count based on a maisa or shachaso shel rabbi. And then the mechaber quotes the following, which we find in the Rush in our parak. V'yesh nogos shelo lachol basar b'yom left on the beis hatefillah. So some women have the practice. The Rush refers to this as a minhag of nashim kisheros. The Chavis says some of the practice of not eating basar on the day of going to the mikvah. Because meat gets into the mouth more than other food. The apa pisha bokos v'chotzos hashinayim, even though the woman's going to floss her teeth, she's going to clean it out anyway, still, choshesho stilma tishtayim minei v'lavadayka, we're concerned, if she eats meat, maybe something will get stuck there, lodge there, and she won't notice it. U'mina yafahu. That's what the Rav said, that this is a laudable minog. And now the Ramah adds a second minog, also quoted in the Rush in the Kitzer Hilchos Nit at the end of the parak, the end of the Sefer. The Eila Lecho Bein Arachita L'Tvila, that a woman should not eat anything between the Chafifa and the Tvila. So you have two minogim here. Minog that the Makaber quotes, a woman not to eat meat on the Yom HaTvila, even before Chafifa, and then a minog of the Ramah not to eat anything between Chafifa and Tvila. There's an interesting Be'er Agra here. Take a look at the Be'er Agra Oskop Beis. So on this minhag in the Mechaber of not eating meat, the day of Tevila, the Gaon is Mitzayin, the Gemara in Chul and Kothay. Achal Basar, Asur Lachal Gevina. Upir Sharamba Mishum Chenishar Basar Bein Hashinayim. The Gaon says, take a look at the Gemara there, you have to wait between meat and milk, and the Rambam explains because we're concerned about basar bein hashinai. So what is the Gaon trying to say? Gary?
Is it only children would not be allowed to eat meat for 6 hours before the Gaon, not the whole day?
And if she follows the minhag Rambam, it's only 1 hour?
Yeah,
but
you
know, there's times there when not people go to the Rambam. Okay. Maybe.
I don't know.
But then why would he be Mitzayin the Rambam
Dafka?
So,
is most the Akron possible like that Rambam over all the other.
I don't know if we have a long to wait, but what's the reason for waiting? Right? Not the Rambam Rashi? Yeah?
Or just because the Gemara story is about bones, you're just seeing it story through also because they're about meat.
We're explaining the minhag of why you shouldn't eat meat, the Yom HaTvila. If it's I am, the Rambam's explanation is why you have to wait between meat and milk. Yeah, Avi?
There are other things like the Gemara. There's more of that. I think Rambam there discusses if she's chewed the meat for a child, so based on Rashi, you wouldn't have to wait because the taste of meat, in this context, maybe she will. So not only should not eat meat, but she should not chew it for a child.
Good. Then that comes out to be a kula, potentially. Sorry, the chumra, we don't assume like Rashi that lois would be a problem. Okay, so someone, the Shari Tvila actually quotes someone who developed something along those lines. But the Shari Tvila suggests that he thinks the simplest explanation of the Gaon is that he said, you see from the Gemara there, you see from the Rambam's explanation of the requirement to rate between Basar and Gvina, that we're concerned about the difficulty of being menaker basar min hashinayim. The Rambam's understanding as to why is the requirement of waiting between meat and milk is because of basar min hashinayim, not like Rashi. So you see from there that basar min hashinayim is a concern that has a lot of ramifications, and just like we're concerned about basar min hashinayim in the context of waiting between meat and milk, we're also concerned about basar min hashinayim and the difficulty in being properly menaker in the context of Tevila. So if you want to say, Gary, that that also leads to a kula, that you could eat more than 6 hours before, maybe. Okay. But that is Minhag Yisrael. What about meat that doesn't get stuck in your teeth? So the Shari Tevila says, presumably that's a low plug. The Minhag is not eating meat, and he says, if Shlomo Zalman is masking with him, that the minhag Yisrael applies to all forms of meat, applies to chicken also, even if it's not going to get stuck in your teeth. What about the other direction? Things that get stuck in your teeth that are other than meat. So in the Sefer Piskei Tshuvos, he quotes that as a machlokas between Rav Vosner and Rav Elyashiv. There's no citation for the Rav Elyashiv quote, but he quotes Rav Elyashiv in the Shir, Rav Vosner in the Shirim here says that meat is lav dafka, it's anything that could get stuck in your teeth. So Piskei Tshuvos says you shouldn't have taffy or popcorn, and then, or oranges. Oranges get stuck in your teeth. And then he said, he quotes from Rav Elyashiv without citation that the minhag Yisrael only applies to basar and not to oranges. Gary. The Taz here quotes the right in Sifkat and Cafe that even though there is such a minhag, the Shabbos v'yontiv a minhag sha'ochlin basar rak shetizar l'nakar v'yoser afrikin. The Shabbos v'yontiv meaning tefillah from Motzai Shabbos. So the minhag is that a woman is not constrained from eating meat on Shabbos itself, just to be careful to properly floss after Shabbos. Shari Tefillah quotes again from his uncle Rishon Zalman that what the Taz writes about Shabbos Yontif should apply to Chol HaMoed as well, even though you could have argued that there's no Chiyuv Basar on Shabbos per se. Simchas Yom Tov for women doesn't necessarily include basar, but nevertheless, Taz says that the minhag was to be makel on this minhag, meaning to allow for eating meat on Shabbos and Yom Tov, maybe Chol HaMoed as well. There's a discussion in Pesukim about Purim, which may relate to what is the nature of the chiyuv basar on Purim. Maybe it's more chomer, or there's a stronger imperative to eat basar on Purim than on Shabbos, and does that apply both on meat and to women? So that's an inyan idioma topic, but that's a discussion. Ravadia is makel about Purim, so that's discussed in Poskim as well. What about the second minhag here of the Ramah? The Ramah's minhag that you shouldn't eat anything between Rechitza and Tevila. So what about a Friday night Tevila? Let's say a situation in which the woman is going to have the Suda, summer Friday night, the woman's going to have the Suda and then go to the mikvah. So is she allowed to eat anything during the Suda? So Sidri Tari here, Sifkata and Mem Test says that you have to be makir of that. And Mishari Tevila says that there's a lot to be makel of that, especially in the situation where you have guests, you have children. But he says that just like we're makel on the first Shiloh on Friday night, like the on Shabbos like the Taz, you can be makel on the second Minog as well. So says Rabbi Willig. Rav Schechter once wondered whether if you have a minhag that develops for a specific pragmatic reason, not because of a halakhic imperative per se, and that pragmatic reason doesn't apply anymore, if it does a minhag, is the minhag still binding? So he cited this as an example. Would anyone say, in theory, that the minhag developed because of the difficulty in getting meat out of teeth, but now that we have dental floss, it's a lot easier than it used to be, so maybe the minhag shouldn't be binding. Now if you have the Gaon's comparison to meat and milk, and I'm going to say you don't have to wait between meat and milk anymore, even within Shita's Rambam, although that is a kind of sort of the same thing. So that was not Lamaisa, but just a music. So bottom line, there is a Minhag Yisrael, but on Shabbos Yontif, there is what to be makel about. Just to finish up over here, so there are two halachas here in Shulchan Aruch based on the Ravid, Sif Kaf Hei and Sif Kaf Vav. So Sif Kaf Hei is that if a woman did not properly wash out the Beis HaStar and the Beis HaKmadim, and then she finds the Dover HaKotates afterwards, the Tefillah doesn't count. If she didn't find the Dover HaKotates, then even though she didn't wash out the Beis HaStar properly, the Tefillah does count. So she didn't wash out the Beis HaStar properly, she found the Dover HaKotates, she has to go back. She didn't find the Dover HaKotates, she does not. Then Sivka Vav, if she didn't check properly between her teeth and the Beis HaStarim, and she didn't check afterwards either, And then she was cooking. And then later she found some food. Vein shineha. So Mechaber says, Talina lekula, Ramina debasher tvila ailiba. So then you have the right to be told and assume that the Davar HaKotev came in after she went to the mikvah. That's based on the next line of the Gemara in Talmud Bava Mevayz in Nida. The next member of Rava, Tavla the also of Nimsa led Davar HaKotev, Emsamuk l'chafifa Tavla ein afikha lachav l'itfal, Vimla afikha lachav l'itfal. That if she went to the mikvah and she found the Davar HaKotev, so if the chafifa immediately preceded the tefila, so then, then you're good. And there's a Gemara in Chulin that if you are Oseik with the Davar HaKotev afterwards, you could be Tola on that. Nevertheless, the Shakir quotes from a Rokeach, where the Rokeach, in this situation of a woman who found something between her teeth after the tefillah, even though you could have been told on something that she was working with after the tefillah, nevertheless he required going back to the mikvah. And the Shach says he has to be machmir. So the Shari Tefillah has a lengthy explanation about what this machlokas is based on. You can take a look. But we don't have time to go into that now. Bottom line, this is a machlokas, a later poskim, how much we are choshesh for this chumrah of the shach. So if you look in the base lachmi hudi, he says that lichachila you should be machmir, b'di eved, the next morning you could be mekel.